Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Samaches. We're learning today Lilui Nishmas Leo Katowitz. That's Harry Katowitz's father. Harry's a regular listener to the Shir, as well as he was on the Young Israel Woodmere mission trip to Israel. We're also learning Lilui Nishmas Edith Livor, Perler Margalit Bas Moshe. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning, and we continue to learn for the safety and the success of the Chayelei Tzal and the Kochas HaBitachon. They should be successful in everything that they do, bring back the hostages safely, b'mheira, and b'ezus Hashem should be peace for all of Klal Yisrael all over the world. Okay, we pick up in the Gemara, Daf Samuches Omid Aleph, with five lines on the top with the words Toshma. In yesterday's shir, we had discussed Rav's opinion that Yeyush alone is able to go and make a kinyan. And now we're going to continue questioning that. Toshma. Utvacho omuchoro. The famous pasuk that we brought down from Mishpatim. Ki yignov ish shor ose utvacho omuchoro. Now it uses the lashon of if you go and either sell it after you stole it or you went and shechted it. Now, we compare the two. There's a hekish over here in the pasuk between tvicha and mechira. And the Gemara tells us, we darsh it in this brisa. Ma tevicha she'eino chozeres. Just like when you shech something, that's it, it's dead. It doesn't come back to life. So too, after mechira, the sale, because of this hekish, has to be a type of sale, she'eino chozeres, that doesn't come back. Now, if you hold like Rav, that Yeyush is in fact making a kinyan, the person now acquires it when the owner despairs, he gives up hope of ever getting it back. So Amos, when did this situation, that the Ganav over here make his final sale? If we're talking about before Yeyush, so how can that be a final sale? Am I Eino Chazeres? Why wouldn't that sale go back? After all, the original owner has not given up hope of getting it back, so it still belongs to him. So obviously, the comparison between Tvicha and Mechira must be Eloli Acher Yeyush, when the owner no longer has hope of getting it back, and now it belongs to the Ganav. Now, if you're telling me, however, that the Ganav has now been koneh, so then why would he have had to pay Dalavei Amai Mishalim Arba V'Chamisha Shalohu Toveach Shalohu Mocher? So he would be selling essentially his own item, his shechting his own item. Why would he ever pay Dalavei? So obviously, this is a kasha on Rav's opinion that the Yeyush is koneh. Moshe says no, because this hekish to show that it's a final type of a sale doesn't mean that it has to be a final sale whether it related to Yeyush or not. It has nothing to do with Yeyush. And this is like the Omer of Nachman, as Rachman is going to say later on this Omer. So it says it here now as well. Parat, this is coming to exclude the case l'shehikno l'shloshim yom, when he is essentially doing a sale for 30 days, which we would call a schira. He rents it out. He's selling it for 30 days, but at the end of the 30 days, it comes back to him. In this situation, Rav Nachman had said that in fact, that's not considered mechira that you pay dalav hay for. So hochanami prat, this coming to exclude the hekish over here comes to exclude a sale that's only for 30 days. Prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom. We're excluding a schira from the din of mocher. When you have mechira, it has to be a full fledged sale, but it has nothing to do with whether it's before Yeyush or after Yeyush, and therefore the brisa could be consistent with Rav's ruling. In fact, the entire brisa is talking about before there was Yeyush. Okay, more continues in questions, Rav. Meisvei, we question Rav from the following Braisa. The Braisa has three components to it, three parts to it, a Reisha, a Mitzyusa, and a Seifa. Ganav, Ubo Acher Ugnavo. You have a Ganav, he goes and steals the item, and then another Ganav comes to steal from him. So Ganav 1 steals the item, and Ganav 2 now steals it from Ganav 1. So what's the halacha? So the Reisha of this Braisa tells us, Harisho Mishalim Teshul Mekefo. The first Ganav has to pay Teshul Mekefo. He's a Ganav, he stole it, he's caught, so he pays kefil. Now, when they catch the second Ganav, Hasheni, he only plays the principal, Ein Mishalim Elo Keren Bilvad, because he didn't steal it from the original owner. He stole it from the Ganav. And as we pointed out previously, you have to steal it from the original owner. It has to be from his house. And therefore, in this situation, you stole it from the Ganav, you're only going to pay the principal, you don't pay kefil. That's the ratio of this price. Next case, Ganav Umachar. If the Ganav went and stole it, and then he sold it. And now, Uba Acher, another Ganav comes along and steals it, Uginavo, from the person who purchased it. So in this situation, the Braisa tells us, Harisho Mishalim Tashlumi Arbu Chamisha. The first guy, he pays Dalib Hay because he sold it. So if it was a sheep, he pays Dalib. If it was a shor, he pays Hay, as we've learned many, many times already. So the first Ganav, he pays the Dalib Hay penalty. The second Ganav, who stole it from the person who purchased it, he pays Kefa. Vasheni Mishalim Tashlumi Kefa. That's the second part of the Braisa. Third part of the Braisa, Ganav V'Tovach. if the first ganim goes and steals it and then shechts it, and now uba acher uginavo, a second ganim comes along and steals the shechted animal. What's the halacha here? Harisho mishalim tishlumei arba chamisha. The first guy, he pays dalav v'hei, very straightforward. He did tvicha, and therefore he's going to have to pay dalav v'hei. Sheep, dalit, shor, hay. Vasheni, the second ganav who stole this slaughtered animal, who stole the animal that was shechted, vasheni, ain't a mishalim tashlumei kefel, el keren bavad. He only pays a single time. He only pays the keren, he doesn't pay the kefel. Now, why? Why in all of these scenarios didn't come out the way it was? So, ktani mia mitziyasa. Let's look at the middle case now, where you had the first ganav stole it and sold it, and the second ganav stole it from the person who purchased it. And we had said in that situation that the first ganav will pay dalav hay, and the second ganav does in fact pay kefel. So, ktani mia mitziyasa. In this case, ganav mocha rubacher uginavo harisha mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha v'shein mishalim tashlumei kefel. What are the facts of that case? Amos, tell us the dinim of this case. If you're telling me that this was all before Yeish, so then why should the second person, Shani, Amai Mishalim Teshlume Kefal? Why should the second Ganav, when he stole it from the person who purchased it, why should he pay Kefal? After all, Shinui Rishus, there was a Shinui Rishus here, but below Yeish is nothing. Mi'iko l'man di'omer d'kone. Does anybody hold if there was no Yeish that you're kone? No, everybody says you need the Yeish in order for the Shinui Rishus to work. So therefore, in this situation, why should the second Ganav have to pay Kefil? He should just pay Keren. But the Braisa said that the second one pays Tashlumei Kefil. That's question number one. Ella, therefore, Pshita li'achar Yeish. Therefore, it must be talking about in the second case that we're dealing with after Yeish. And that's why the owner has given up hope, and therefore, the second Ganav, according to Rav, he's going to have to pay kefil. But in that situation, we got a problem. But if you're telling me that Yeish is kone, and that's why the second Ganav has to pay kefil, then why did the first Ganav have to go and pay dalav v'hei? Amai mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Why did the first Ganav pay dalav v'hei? The day who deserved it. If you're telling me that it was after Yeish, so then it belongs to him. And if it belongs to him, so granted, he'll have to pay kefel, but why would he have to pay dalav v'hei? The day who deserved it. And therefore, toveach shalo, mocher shalo. So that's problem number one. The so, furthermore, the Ktani Reisha, it says in the first part of the Reisha, in the regular case of Ganav u'bo'acher u'gnovo, the first Ganav stole it, and the second Ganav stole it directly from him. We had said in that situation, the Rishon Mishalim Teshulmei Kefel, the first one does have to pay Kefel, the second one only pays the Keren, Basheni Enim Mishalim El Keren. But wait a second, Michtei, if you're telling me that's like the second case was after Yeush, so then the first case has to be after Yeush as well. We're assuming the Reisha is all talking about the same scenarios. So Michtei, Liyach Yeushu Kamina, if we're dealing with after Yeush, so then if you're telling me, like Rav says, v'yiso kodai toch yeush is kone, so then the second ganav, why does he only pay the keren? Sheni, amai eno mishalim elo keren. He should have to go and pay kefil, because the first ganav has acquired it through the yeush. Elolav, what must we see from here? Shmami no yeush lo kone, and v'kashel Rav. Since we're dealing with the case of after Yeish, but it's impossible for it to be kone in this situation, because the dinim don't come out correctly that way, and therefore, the kasha on Rav, yeush is not kone. And therefore, Rav is problematic. So Rav says, "On my Rav, v'tisbro, you think, ha mitartzisa, he everything is now fine and dandy with this brisa. You've explained everything away. Just like Rav has a problem, the mandiyame that says Yeish is lo kani also has a problem, because elo diktani sefer. Now read the third part. If you're telling me that the third part is talking about after Yeish, so then ganav v'tavach. The third part was that the ganav stole it and then shechted it, and the second ganav comes along with bo'acher gunavu, and the second ganav comes along and steals the shechted animal. So we said rishon mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha. The first ganav has to pay dalav hay. The sheni enu mishalim elo keren, but the second ganav only has to pay keren. But wait a second, umi kolaman diyamar shinui ma'isa lo kani, but the first Ganav, he shechted it. So that's a shinui in the Maisa. And everybody agreed, we had that previously, that everybody agrees that a shinui Maisa is kone. So wait a second. If the first Ganav is kone the item with the shinui Maisa by shechting it, so then why should the second Ganav only have to pay the keren? Sheni and Mishalim El Keren. That doesn't make any sense. So Elah Liolam Kula Lifne Yesh. So you have to tell me that everything is before Yesh. I this Efoch Sefer Limitziyasa Umitziyasa Lisefer. You have to switch around. There's a mistake in this brisa. You can't learn it the way Rav wants to learn it, or the way the position that holds that Yesh Lo Kani. Neither of them can fit in with all three parts of the brisa. So now we have to flip around the second and third psak in the brisas and learn in the following way. We're dealing here Kula Lifne Yesh. The epoch sefer limitziyasa. Switch around the psak of the third case to the second case, and the second case to the third case. This is where you have to read the brisa. So the second case goes as follows: ganav u'machar. The ganav stole it, and then he sold it, and then u'bacher u'gnavu, and then another ganav comes along and steals it from the purchaser. So in this situation, we paskin as follows: harishon mishalim tashlumi abu chamisha. The first one has to be dal v'hei because it's before yeyush, so he never acquired it. Vasheni ena mishalim elo keren. And then, since the first one never acquired it, so that's why the second one who's stealing from a ganav, so he only pays the keren. The shina rishus below yeyush lokani, because we're dealing here without yeyush, and it's just the shina rishus. It went from the possession of the first ganav into the possession of the second ganav, went from the owner to the first ganav. None of those shina rishuses without yeyush will be kona. So we understand why the first one has to pay dal v'hei because he sold it and it was still in the possession of the original owner, and the second one only pays the keren because it's the ganav who steals from a ganav without the first ganav having acquired it. So therefore, he only pays the keren. Oh. Second case now works out very, very well. And the third case, ganav v'tavach u'bacher u'gnavo. Yeah, the third case, where the ganav stole it, shechted it, and then a second ganav went and stole the shechted animal from him. So here, it's before Yeish, so we understand. Harisha mishalim teshulim avu chamisha, no problem. But the second one, hasheni mishalim teshulim kefel now. Why? Because a shinoi Maisa does take effect even without Yeyush. The Kanya Bishinui Maisa. So this is the way you have to learn the Braisa, and now it's all before Yeyush, so it's not a Kasha on Rav who says that Yeyush is Kani, because we're not dealing here with Yeyush. That is the way we would now tarets up this Braisa and not have it be a problem for Rav. Rav Papa says, however, I don't like you to have to switch around the text of the Braisa. Rav Papa Amar Lola Mul Tepoch. We don't like to make changes in the brisa unless we're forced to. And I don't think you're forced to, Rav Papa says. I can learn the brisa the way it originally was without having to make the textual changes that we just did. To say that the psak is the way we had for the third case was really the psak in the second case, and the psak in the second case was really the psak in the third case. I don't want to make those changes, Rav Papa says. La'olam lo'tefoch. I, how do you learn it then? So he says, seifa. You know the third case, which we had the problem, if you hold that Yeyush is Lokani, that we said was a problem even for the man the Yom that holds Yeyush Lokani. Seifa is actually the opinion Beis Shammai here. That's the opinion Beis Shammai. They hold the Amri Shinoi, even a Shinoi Maisa, Bimkoma Ome. And that's why, in that situation, leaving the Brice as it was, in the third case, where it was Ganavu Tovach U'Bacher U'Gnavo, so the first Ganav has to pay Dal of Hay because Yeyush is Lokani. And the second guy, why does he only pay Hasheni Einu Shalim Tashlumi Kefa El Karen Bavad? That's because even though it was a Shinoi in the Maisa, even though you shechted it, this is Beis Shammai's opinion. Darmei Shinoi Maisa Bimkom Omei. Even a Shinoi Maisa, you don't change the ownership. And therefore, Rav Papa would learn the Braisa as all being a Kasha on Rav. And the third part, which was a kasha on the opinion that disagreed with Rav, that Yeyush is low kani, so that opinion would have to explain the third case as being the opinion of Beis Shammai. So where it says, wait a second, so then now we have our kashas on Rav. Yochi, kasha, reishu, mitzvah, Rav. So how does Rav get around that according to Rav Papa? So Amar Rav Zid, Rav said, no. In fact, la'olam kulu l'fnei Yeyush. Again, you can learn the whole thing as being before Yeyush. And the cases are as follows. V'hoch of mayaskinan. The second case is Shenisyashu Habalim below Keach, below Nisyashu Beganav. The case is that the original owner had not given up hope when the first Ganav took it, but he had given up hope when the second Ganav took it. So therefore, if you hold like Rav, that Yeyosh is Kani, so the first Ganav, he wasn't yet an owner because the original owner was not Nisyayish. But the second Ganav, at that point in time, the owner had given up hope. And in that situation, the second Ganav is in fact going to become the owner because Yeyush is Kani. So therefore, let's read it again. Shnishashu abalim below keach. The original owner had not given up hope when the first person stole it, but when the first person stole it and then sold it, so then shnishashu abalim below keach. Once it's in the possession of the low keach, he said, "There's no way he has a legitimate purchase. He's going to take me to Beis Din, and I'll never get it back from him." So that's when the original owner gave up hope, and therefore, when the second guy steals it, he's stealing it from another owner, and therefore v'lo nisyashu beganav. But he wasn't nisyayish after the first ganav, the havale yeish. So there was yeish only in regards to when the time the second ganav stole it, but there was no yeish at the time that the first ganav had it, and therefore we can understand the psak halacha. We're dealing over here in the second case of bo acher ugnavo, somebody else steals it from the one who purchased it. So the rishon, where there was no yeush, mishalim tashlumi arba b'chamisha, and the second one, he has to pay mishalim tashlumi kefil because there was yeush for the second one. So he's also now stealing from an owner, and therefore that's how we explain this according to Rav. And in fact, we leave out the words v'shinui rishus over here. As we'll see in a moment, we're going to learn why that's not correct. And in fact, you look in the Masoros HaShas, it tells us that the Maharnash was mochak zeh. And that's why it's in parentheses. Who's the Maharnash? That's Rav Nosson ben Reuven Shapiro. He was a person who lived in the 1600s. He was a descendant of Rashi, and he was one of the Gur Ayeh. He was one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, and he was a great Kabbalist. Okay, and anyway, the Maharnash deletes the words Mishinu Rishus, as we now see. The Lo Tema, and don't say Mishum Dibo Inon Yeyush Vishinu Rishus, and don't say over here that we need both Yeyush and Shinu Rishus in order for this to work in the second case, because in fact, El Afilu B'Yeyush L'Chudei, even Yeyush alone, Nami Koni Gani Gabi Ganav. So even Yatz Yeyush alone, you don't need both Yeyush and Shina Rishus. That's why we delete the words of Shina Rishus above. You don't need the Shina Rishus. It was just the Yeish that made the second Ganav now have to pay Kefel. And why did it give us this case? Because it wanted to teach us, Elo, the Lo Mishkachas, there is no possibility to have a case over here, the Mishalmi Tarvayu, that both of them should have to pay a penalty, that the Ganav Rishon and the Ganav Sheni both have to pay the penalty, not just the carrot. That the Ganav Rishon will pay the dollar of hay, and the Ganav Sheni will pay the Kefel. Elo B'Halki, only if you say it the way we did, that there was Yeish only after the sale to the purchaser, and then there was Yeish. But by the first Ganav, there was no Yeish, and therefore only by the second Ganav was there Yeish. And this is the only way you can learn the Raisa according to Rav. Okay, a little bit tough. Let's go weiter. Itmar, we now have the following question. Hamocher lifnei Yeish. If a person sells something before Yeish, so what's the halacha? The Ganav went and stole the animal before there was Yeish. So Rav Nachman Amar Chayev. Rav Nachman says, you pay the dollar of the hay. It's before Yeish, you certainly weren't acquiring it, and therefore this is a regular case of Dalav Hay. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Rav Sheshes is my partner. He says you don't pay the Dalav Hay. Now, what's the rationale for Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? So Rav Nachman Amar Chayev, Rav Nachman says Chayev, because the Pasuk says, again, it doesn't say U Mecharo, it says O Mecharo. So the Pasuk says U Tvacho O Mecharo. That's what the Torah says, Om Rachmana, and Vahazabin. And you, in fact, sold it. It doesn't make any difference whether it's before or after Yeish. The Torah says, if you sell it, you're going to pay Dalav Hay. Yeish has nothing to do with it. Lo shnor lifnei yeish, lo shnor liachiyeish. That's Rav Nachman's opinion. However, Rav Sheshes is Amar Potter. Rav Sheshes says, no, you're a potter in this situation. Why? Because chiyuvei liachiyeishu. Because you only have to go and pay after there is yeish. Because in that situation, the ahanu maisav, now his action is going to be effective, so to say. He now has stolen the item. Before Yeish, he didn't accomplish anything. And therefore, lo mechayev, because in this situation, it's dumyo de tvichabin. The hekish of tvacho o mecharo tells us it has to be a permanent sale. And if it's before Yeish, it's not a permanent sale, because how can you sell something that doesn't belong to you? So therefore, the ahanu maisav, it has to be dealing over here with after Yeish, that your maisav are effective, and therefore you're selling it when it belongs to you. Toveach shalo, a mocher shalo. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Sheshes says, you would not be chayv dalav hay. So you have somewhat of a paradox here with the sheet of Rav Sheshes, in that, hamocher lifnei yeish, Rav Sheshes says, you're in fact parted from dalav hay. It's only after yeish, when now your masa occurs, now your sale is a sale. So then, you're only chayv dalav hay. So again, this is the machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. On Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes now explains further, and he says, Mina amina lo. What's the source of my din to say that lifnei yeish de lo ahanu masav lo mechayev dalav hay, and it's only after yeish da ahanu masav that you chayev dalav hay? So he says it's a brisa, the Tanya, and the brisa states that Rabbi Akiva holds as follows: Amar Rabbi Akiva, mipnei ma amra Torah. Why did the Torah tell us tavach umochar mishalim arba v'chamisha? The tvicho mechira, you pay dalav hay. Why? Mipnei shenishtoresh b'chait. We had this previously, and now we see it in its original source, because you become rooted in your sin. What does that mean? Amos, what are we talking about there? Rabbi Akiva says you're rooted in your sin. If we're talking about before Yayush, how can you tell me that he's rooted in a sin? The sale is not a valid sale. So he didn't do a second sin, so to say. He just did one sin of stealing. The second sin of selling it didn't take effect. Elolav, it must be talking about Li'acha Yayushu. It's only after Yayush when the second sin takes effect. Now you're rooted in sin. You stole and you now then sold that object that you sold. So therefore, it must be talking about that you're only chayav dalavei after Yayush. This is what Rav Sheshi says is his source of his din. But Rava says no, and this we had Rava earlier in the end of yesterday's shir, and we said we'd get to it today. On my Rava, mipnei sheshana b'chayt. No, doesn't mean that it's the same sin. It's just that he's doing another sin. He's selling it when he shouldn't. It doesn't bring a sariah to Rav Sheshes. It's just that he's committing multiple sins, and that's what it means to nishtaris. It doesn't mean the same sin, rooted in the same sin. It just means this person is unfortunately sinning. Mark continues, and now questions Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said that you're chayev dalad v'hei even before there is Yayush. So, Toshma, we learn the following brisa. Pasuk says again, Utvacho o mecharo. We keep on having umecharo. Utvacho o mecharo. So, ma tvicho she'eno chozeres, just like we made the hekish, that a shechting doesn't come back. The animal's dead forever. So, too, we said, at mechiro she'eno chozeres. We have talking about a sale that doesn't come back. Now, Amos, what are we talking about? Ilemo lifnei yeish. We're telling you before yeish, then why doesn't that sale come back? It's not a valid sale. Am I eno chozeres? It is still in the possession of the original owner. So, the ganav, when he sells it, he's not selling something that he owns. Oh, mustn't it be Eloli Achayesh? We're talking about after Yeyush. Ushmamina Chiyuvo Liachayeshu. And here, there's still a Dalavei even after Yeyush. So therefore, the din of Dalavei only applies after Yeyush, and not like Rav Nachman said before Yeyush. So again, we brought this down previously, and here's where we see the original source, Tirgum Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman himself explained that this is coming, the Hekish of here, Tficha and Mechira, is coming to exclude a Schira. Parat l'shehikna lo shloshim yom. He didn't sell it for permanent, he sold it for 30 days. It was equivalent of a rental. And therefore, that you're not going to be chayav dalad v'hei for. It has nothing to do with Yayish. It has to do with the hekish between Tevich and Mechiris to tell us it has to be a permanent sale, just like Shlita is a permanent shechting. So to the sale has to be a permanent sale as opposed to a sale for just 30 days, but it has nothing to do with whether it's before or after Yayish, and therefore there's no question on Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara tells us, Yaf Rabbi Elazar Savra Chiyuvei Li'acha Yayishu. Rabbi Elazar says that also the din is that you're only chayav dalad v'hei after Yayish, but not before Yayush, similar to what Rav Sheshes had said. And where do we see this din of Rav Elazar? The Omer Rav Elazar, we turn to Samaches on the days, Teda, you should know, Shestam Gineva Yayush Balmu. Rav Elazar says that a Stam Gineva, when a person steals something, so then the Stam position is that the owner gives up hope of ever getting it back. After all, guy came in at night, stole it, what's the likelihood of getting it back? So Stam Gineva Yayush Balmu. Why? Shari Omer Torah, Tavach u'machar, the Torah tells us the din of dalad v'hei by shchita tavach u'machar, or selling it, mishalim teshulim arba v'chamisha, that there is a din of dalad v'hei. Now, if you're telling me that there is always going to be yeyush after geneva, so that must be what the case is talking about. Aye, v'duma lo'i yayush, maybe he didn't go and have yeyush. So Gemara says, no, El, what do you see? Lav bishum darmin, stam geneva yeyush balmo. Because we assume the stam condition is that there is yeyush automatically. And therefore, you see that the din of dalad v'hei only applies after Yayush, not before Yayush. Aydin Gemara says, v'dumo afal gav delo yayish. Maybe the Torah is telling us that even if you are not miyayish, there still is going to be a din of dalad v'hei. So the Gemara says, no, don't think that. I'm ready, lo sokas daita. Don't think that for a second. Because we have the hekish, dumyo de tvicha. It says, tvacho o mecharo. So ma tvicha dahani maisa. The tvicha is something that is taking effect. It's an action. You shechted the animal. So his actions go and acquire it on behalf of the ganav. So too, after mechira, da hanu masav. It has to be that his mechira is effective. Now, if you're telling me it's before yeish, v'ilifnei yeish, so how could it be? Mayahanu. After all, how can you sell something that doesn't belong to you? So therefore, it must be talking about after yeish. So therefore, the stam position, Rabbi Elazar tells us, is that yeish is occurring by a stam geneva. Stam geneva, yeyush ba'alam hu. Gemara says, wait a second still. The duma, the shamine, the yayish. Maybe the Torah is talking about where we only know for a fact that he was miyayish. But if we don't know for a fact he's miyayish, so then it doesn't take effect. So it says again, don't think that. Ami lo soka daito. Don't even think that. Why? Because it says again, dumyu to tvicha. Ma tvicha li out there, af mechira li out there. Just like a shchita can occur right away. There's no time limit on the shchita. So just like if the shchita could occur right away, it must be that the mechira can also occur right away. And therefore, it must be shtam gineva yeyosh balu. That is the shita of Rabbi Elazar, but his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, disagrees. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to his Talmud, Rabbi Elazar, Gineva benefesh tochiach. I'll prove to you that you're wrong from kidnapping. Gineva benefesh. Now, Gineva benefesh is a special, unique din that if you steal a person, you kidnap a person, our current situation in Gaza, these murderers who also kidnap, they're going to be chayv misa. Gineva benefesh tochiach. If you go and kidnap a person, and then you go and sell that person, so then you're chayv misa. Again, another pasuk for Mishpatim. So it teaches us over here that you're chayv misa for kidnapping. So they're not only chayv misa for all the horrible other things that they did, they're chayv misa for kidnapping and then transferring them to other people, selling them within Gaza. And Rabbi Yochanan uses this as a proof. Gineva benefesh tochiach. This din of Gineva, it must be their pre-yush, because she'en yeyush ba'olim v'chayiv. A person who's alive never gives up hope. He doesn't say, well, I'm forever lost over here. No, he's always hopeful that he will go and free himself. So as Rashi points out in Gineva benefesh, hagoni nefesh v'choro, ain't kind yeyush. There is no yeyush over here. Shein odem is yayish. That's what a person shouldn't ever give up on himself. And we hope that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives strength to all these chatufim that they shouldn't give up. We'll be answer Hashem, be able to go and free them. Rachmana chayve. And nevertheless, in this situation, even without yeyush, Kodesh Baruch Hu said these kidnappers, these ganovim, are going to be held accountable to be chayv misa. Afa gav dulo ahanu maisa. And therefore, technically, they're action didn't accomplish anything because the person hasn't given up hope. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Elazar, you see that ein yeyush balam v'chayiv. Even though there is no yeyush balam, there is a din of chayiv. So too, even though in the regular case of Gineva, there's no yeyush balam, you don't have to say stam Gineva yeyush balam. Who? Nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv dalavei. You're going to be chayiv in the case of kidnapping misa. So here in the case of an animal, you're going to be chayiv dalavei. So Gemara says, Miklal, what do you see from here? The Sava Rav Yochanan, Lifnei Yeyush Chayiv. Rav Yochanan's opinion is that before Yeyush, you're Chayiv. Now, Li'ach Yeyush Mai, what does Rav Yochanan hold after Yeyush? How does he hold? So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Omar Chayiv. However, Reish Lakish Omar Potter, his famous Bar Plukta, Reish Lakish disagrees. So Rav Yochanan says, you're Chayiv before Yeyush, you're Chayiv after Yeyush. However, Reish Lakish says, after Yeyush, you're going to be Potter. What's the rationale? Rav Yochanan Omar Chayiv, Rav Yochanan says, you're Chayiv after Yeyush, because the same rationale that we had before is that the Torah says if you go and shecht it or you sell it, you're going to be chayiv dalav hay. So therefore, it has nothing to do with yeyush. It's whether you had yeyush or you didn't have yeyush. There's the din of dalav hay. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish is my potter. Reish Lakish says after yeyush, you're going to be potter because chiyuvei, the Torah only obligated you lifnei yeyush, because you're then shechting or selling something that doesn't belong to you. It still belongs to the original owner, and therefore that's why there's dalav hay. But once you've acquired it, alach yeyush kana, you've acquired it after the yeyush, and therefore v'shalom tovei, v'shalom mocher, you're essentially shechting or selling something that you own, and therefore there's no din of dalav hay. No. Rav Yochanan questions Reish Lakish. Eisvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish on the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we're going to have in a couple of days on Dav Ayin Dalit. And it tells us over there, Gonav v'hikdish, if a person steals something, and then he's makdish it. V'achikach tovach, and then he goes and shechs it. So what's the halacha? So he stole it, and he's found guilty, so Mishalim Tashlum Kefil, he has to be Kefil. However, he then shechted it after he was makdish it, that he doesn't pay dalav hay for. V'enu Mishalim Tashlum Arba v'chamisha. Why not? Amos, what's the case talking about? Ilei mo lifni yeyush, if it's all before yeyush, so then, mi kadosh, how can he be makdish something that doesn't belong to him? So, the fact that I say my next door neighbor's cow is hektish has zero impact, because I don't own that cow. So, if it's before yeyush, the guy that doesn't own the cow, how can he make it hektish, and why would he not be chayiv dalav hay for going and shechting it? And the pasuk tells us that you can't be makdish something that doesn't belong to you. Mi kadosh, ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh. You have to go and be makdish something that belongs to you. Omer Rachmana, the Torah says. So ma beso shalom, just like your house belongs to you, akol shalom, anything that belongs to you, you can be makdish. But you can't be makdish something that belongs to your friend. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, pshita, elo pshita liachar yeyush. Obviously, you can only be makdish something after there was yeyush, and you were kone. Now, the time law, the reasoning is, the hikdish who, the eno mishalim teshlomi arba chamisha. It's only because he was makdish it that he doesn't pay dalav hay. It's after yeyush That's how he's able to be makdish it. So therefore, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. And that's why it's no longer Dal V'Hei. However, the implication is, Dechi Tovach, the Hektish Kotovach, it's only because he shechted Hektish that he doesn't pay the Dal V'Hei. Avol Lo Hektish, if he hadn't been makdish it. So though, even though it's after the Yeyosh, Tovach, if he would go and shecht it, Mishalim Teshlomi Arba V'Chamish, he'd have to pay Dal V'Hei. Now, you clearly see that even though it's after Yeyosh, you do pay Dal V'Hei. But if you hold like Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, Yeyosh Kone, if you hold like Rish Lakish says that Yeyosh is Kone, so then am I Mishalim? Why should you have to pay? Shalom Tovech, Shalom Mocher. So Rav Yochanan is fine. He says that you pay Dal V'Hei, Bein Lufne Yeyosh, Bein Liachi Yeyosh. Yeyosh has nothing to do with anything. If you shaft it or sell it, you pay Dal V'Hei. According to Rish Lakish, it's only if you don't own it that you pay Dal V'Hei. But here, if you own it, you shouldn't have to pay Dal V'Hei. So why does the Mishnah say you have to pay Dal V'Hei? Because it implies that only if you're a Makdishit, you don't pay Dal V'Hei. If you weren't Makdishit, you would pay Dal V'Hei. Kashan Rish Lakish. So what does Rish Lakish say? And so on the way, Rish Lakish would say back to his Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, Hach Mayaskin, you know what we're talking about over here? Kigon Shek Dishuhu Be'olim Be'ad Ganav. When it said over here, Ganav V'hikdish, it doesn't mean the Ganav was Makdishit, it meant the original owner was Makdishit. The original owner said, well, I can't get it back for you, but you know what? You're not going to get benefit from it either. I'm Makdishit. It's my animal. I can be Makdishit. So Kigon Shek Dishuhu Be'olim Be'ad Ganav. The Balim went and were Makdishit while it already was stolen in the hands of the Ganav. Now, in this situation, it doesn't belong to the Ganav. It belongs to Hektish. It doesn't belong to the original owner. It doesn't belong to the Ganav. It belongs to Hektish. If you shecht something from Hektish, so you don't pay Dalet V'Hei. And that's why Reish Lakish says you're potter in this Mishnah from paying Dalet V'Hei. More questions, Reish Lakish says, can the original owners be mocked to something that doesn't physically have in their possession? Umi Kadosh, how does that work? Farmer Yochanan, after all, Rav Yochanan himself said, Gozal v'lo nisyashua balam. In the case of Gzela, where the original owners have not given up hope, and everybody agrees in that situation, it still belongs to the original balam. Nevertheless, both the original owners nor the Ganav, neither of them are able to be makdishit. Shneim ain't yichol makdish. Why not? Because the Ganav can't do it because Zel lefish enu shelo. It doesn't belong to him. The original owners were not giving up hope, so therefore, it still belongs to the original owners. But even the original owners can't be makdishit. There's that. The original owners can't be makdishit lefishe and b'shusa because they don't have it in their possession anymore. It belongs to them, but it's not in their possession. You need to have ownership and in your possession to be makdishit, and neither one of these two, neither the original owner, because it's theirs, but it's not in their possession, and the ganav, it's not his, albeit it's in his possession. Neither of them can go be makdishit. So this is a kasha on Reish Lakish, who says that the original owners were makdishit. How can they do so? So Reish Lakish answers, no, there's another opinion over here. Amre, who the Omar Kitznuin. Reish Lakish would say, I hold like the Tznuin, this opinion of the Tznuin, which we'll now see. It says, Ditnan, this is a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, where it tells us, Hatznuin, this is a din in regards to Karen Revai. As Rashi tells us in Dibur Maskel, Sova Lo Kitznuin, Damrin Lekamen, we're going to see this on Dav Samach Tes in tomorrow's year, that we're dealing here in this Mishnah, Bekeren Revai. This is in the fourth year of a vineyard, so you have to bring the produce up from that vineyard to Yerushalayim. It's treated like Maaser Sheni. You have to either bring the produce up and eat it in Yerushalayim, or you can go and redeem it and bring the money up to Yerushalayim. So this din of Karen Revai. So the Tznuin were always afraid that people would come and take things from their vineyard, and now this was Karen Revai. They wouldn't realize it, and they're going to eat the grapes in wherever the vineyard was, outside of Yerushalayim, and they're going to be chayiv for eating Karen Revai outside of Yerushalayim. So the Tznuin, these great, wonderful people, Rashi explains that the Bnei Adam, the Tznuin, Chasidim, they were great people, Shirotzin Lasalik Yedei Kol Adam Min Avera. And they wanted even the people that were taking their grapes not to be over the Avera of eating Karen Revai outside Yerushalayim. So Kishieshlem, Karen Revai, if they had a vineyard in the fourth year, V'choshishin, and they were concerned, maybe people were coming along, Shema Ochle Mimenu, Ovri Drachem, a passerby, come, oh, this is a juicy grape, I'm going to take it, below Pidyon, but they're not going to redeem it, and they're not going to then go and take that money and eat it in Yerushalayim. So what did these Tznuim do? So Rashi continues quoting the Gemara. We'll go back to the Gemara. Hatznuim meinichin esamos. The Tznuim would go and redeem this Karen Revai, V'omrim, Kol ha-nilkat mizeh, anybody that went and picked Karen Revai, yehei mechulol al ha-moz elu. This money that we put out here is going to be redeeming the kedusha of Karen Revai. So now, the person, the passerby, the Ovri Drachem, that took these grapes, so these grapes have now been redeemed. So therefore, they're eating chulin grapes. And they would take this coin, and they would go and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat based upon the value of the Karen Revai from this coin. So this is what these great tznuim would do. And Rashi continues in Dibur Maskel Menichin, and he says, Alma, Even though these grapes are no longer in the rishus, the passerbys took them. Now they acquired these grapes, so they're no longer in the rishus of these tsnuim, of these chasidim. Nevertheless, mifrak v'tofis lo l'moros b'kedusha. Nevertheless, they can take the kedusha from those fruits and transfer it to the money. So therefore, Reish Lakish says, I disagree with you, Rav Yochanan. You're saying you can't be makdish something if you don't have it in your possession. So no, these Snuim, they own those graves, and albeit they're no longer in their possession, they were still able to go and transfer the Kedusha from those graves onto their coins. Gemara says, in this situation, Bari Chosra Karen Libalim. In Reish Lakish's understanding of the case where the Ganav stole it, and then the Balim were Makdish it, so then Bari Chosra Karen Libalim, as Rashi says, I Kishikdishu Balim, so Kefal Amai Mishalim. So then why does the guy pay Kefal? Hare Chosra Karen Liyodam. The Karen, so to say, went back to their hands, and then they were Makdish it. So therefore, the Ikdishua, so Kol Hechodise, because they have the ability to go be Makdish according to Reish Lakish, even if it's not in their physical possession. And therefore, the Kefal Lo Mechayev. Ela Kishnim says, Biyad Ganav. So then they shouldn't have to pay Kefal, because even if you would find the item now, it wouldn't be in the Yad of the Ganav. It belongs back to the original Balaam, so to say, because they were Makdish it. Shabo Edim, even if Edim come and say, hey, this item that's in your possession, it belongs to Reuven, who you stole from. So that, therefore, wouldn't have to pay kefal, because the pasuk says, im himotzei simotzei biyado hagneva, and it's not biyado, it's in the reshus of the original balim, because they were makdish it. So that's considered in their hands. So therefore, varichosu keren libalim, so why would you have to pay kefal then? So Gemara says, no, we're dealing here, kisho omad bedin, before the original owners were makdish it, so based in had already paskin, and therefore he has to pay kefal. Hechidon, what's the case over here? Ed Yomar say Taylo, if the basin had said, go and pay Ganav, you're chayiv to pay kefal, so my area hiktish. So then what does hektish have to do with anything? If they were makdish it, so why would they have to tell us that then? I feel lo hiktish, nami lo luchayve. If they weren't makdish it, also, there wouldn't be a chiyuv over here of Dalav Hay, because the Omer Rava say Taylo, because Rava said once the Dayanim say go give it back, so he's no longer Ganav if he doesn't give it back, he's now a Gazlan. So when the basin says say Taylo, if he doesn't give it back at that point in time, he's Tavach Umochar, so then he's part of the Dalav Hay. Why? My timer? Because Kivan de Paskua Lemilse, since basin Paskin, you have to give it back. So at this point in time, he's Ganav. If he doesn't give it back, he's now a Gazlan. If he goes and shechts it or sells it, the Tavach Umochar, have a Gazlan. And the Gazlan ain't no Mishalim, Tashlumi, Arba V'Chamisha. So that's why he doesn't pay the Dalav Hay. And return to Samach Tesam and Aleph, Chayev Atot Li Tainlo, if the basin said, not that we paskin, that you have to give it back, but Chayev, you have an obligation to go and give it back. They didn't yet formally paskin that he has to go and give it back. And then, Tavachu Mochar, so then he should have to pay. Mishalim Tashlum Arba Chamisha. My timer, why is that? Because Kivan Delo, now the Girsa of the Bach is Delo Paskua Milsa, since Basin didn't officially paskin on the subject, therefore he remains as a Ganav, Akate Ganavu, and if he goes and shechts it or sells it, so he will be Chayv Dalabhe. So according to Reish Lakish, in either event, if the Beis Din paskin over here, so then there would be no Din of Dalabhe. Why did he have to introduce the Hikdish aspect of it? Shmuel says, no. Lo tzricha, you need it according to Reish Lakish, the Amre Le, Chayev Atol Yitein Lo. No, it's talking about the scenario of where Basin just said that you have to pay him. And in that situation, you would have expected him to have to pay Dalav Hay because Basin didn't paskin it. Kivan Delo Paskua Lemilsa, so then Akate Ganavu, and there would be a din of Dalav Hay, and therefore Reish Lakish has to say, but the owner went and was makdish it at that point, that's why you don't pay Dalav Hay. But otherwise, because he's still a Ganav, you would have had to pay Dalav Hay if Beis Din had, in fact, suggested that he go and pay the money. That's why Reish Lakish says it has to give us the case of being Makdish it. Now, we're still going to discuss more about Rav Yochanan's opinion in tomorrow's shir. This is a great point. With this, we conclude today's shir.